So let me ask you, who does Jesus love? You believe that? Everyone. Can you show us that, Pete? Let's see if they can. This, when I was reading this book that had a question similar to this, it was, who does Jesus love? That's what came into my head, right? Who's a good boy? Right? Come on. But who does Jesus love? You said everyone. And so I'll ask you, do you believe it? And how would I know? More importantly, how would anybody know that you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus loves everybody? That everybody, Jesus wants everybody. Because I get it. There's a lot that you could say that God knows the beginning and the end, and he knows that some people want him and some people don't. But he loves everybody. So if we're at church, let me ask you this. How do you know he loves everybody? Anyone? Okay. And it's a song, too, when we're little, right? Yep. The Bible says so. And for some of us, we actually believe the Bible. His actions. He didn't just talk about it. If you believe it, then it's going to change the way you and I live. Jesus came and he was really scandalous. I don't know if you look much at the word of scandalized or scandalous or scandalously, but scandal is just something that is really, really sketchy. People are like, what? There's a scandal. Well, he was accused of these things and he probably did them. And then everybody either says, no, he didn't. Or they say, yes, he did. And he probably did worse. And in today's day and age, we've been told that in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. That has, like, say goodbye to that. Doesn't mean that it isn't true. It just doesn't get believed. Look, a long time ago, I prayed that I could find a pair of boots that I could afford and that my wife would also be excited with me about getting a great deal and wearing them. And I got these boots. They were $10 because they were at this rummage sale at Nordstrom's advertising. That was one of my accounts, and they were like having this rummage sale, and I go, oh, these are really cool. Yeah, you can buy stuff. I'm like, como say what? I can buy something? And so I found these boots, and they said, yeah, and they're waterproof. But I wanted them to last a long time, so when it rained, I wouldn't wear them. Did I believe that they were waterproof? I said I did. They told me. I believed them. I even sprayed them. You guys, you believe something that's going to come out in your life. God believes that people are worth being loved and found when they're lost. Will you join me at Luke 15? I have a number of things that I could share in these, and some of you are going to be like, oh, but you missed this and you missed that. Sweet. Get together in a group and go over this. Go deeper than Aaron Day or any other teacher could go. Get together. There's 7 days out of the week that you can get together. Go deeper with one another. Pray for one another. Eat food together. You know what? In the next few weeks, there's going to be signups for you to start small groups, little churches in your house or in somebody else's house. I don't know if people are coming to my house. Then I have to clean it up. Okay, good. Find somebody who's already OCD and cleans it up. What's that? Why would you call that OCD? All right, sorry, CDO. Put it in alphabetical order. All right, good. The reality is there's people here who want so much to go deeper. They want the teaching to go deeper. They want the worship to go deeper. They want Sunday morning to be way more than it is. Get together and go deeper with each other. I'm going to offer kind of a general teaching. I am an evangelist. I make no bones about that. I love going deeper. I love getting into these little cookies and these little rabbit trails. And I mean, you're already like, yeah, I know. We're listening to you preach right now. I go, I get it. But I mean, I love to go deeper. But this, like, huge group, is not where the best discipleship happens. The best discipleship is more life on life. Maybe, you know, a group of 10 or 12 or 6. And so look for those signups. Look for being somebody who steps out and says, yeah, you can come into my house. Or I want to lead. Or I just want to make cookies. Or I want to hold babies. I mean, there's so much you could do to help people love and follow Jesus, including yourselves. Here we go. Luke 15. Now the tax collector, sorry, Bibles. We have a bunch underneath chairs around you. Take one if you don't have one. Own it. Read it, live it. If not, it's on a screen near you, either in your hand or up here. Now the tax collectors and sinners, like tax collectors have their own spot because they were really jerks. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. Scribes, leaders in the law, they wrote out the law. They were lawyers. They were extraordinary in understanding the law of God. And they grumbled. You know what grumbling is, right? Yeah, you're talking smack behind somebody's back. You're mad. You're frustrated. She got a bigger part of the cookie. All right, anyways, grumbling. Saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That was a big deal. Eating with people. That's like fellowship. That's relationship. And they're grumbling about this. He eats with sinners. Can I ask you a straight up question? Who else could Jesus eat with? Everybody. Yeah, you could be like, I'll take it to go. Because I just want to eat with myself because I'm not a sinner. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. But you know what? That's not the most glorious thing about everybody. The most glorious thing about everybody is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. That means forever. Together with God. We're getting the band back together, dude. So, since they have that attitude, he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, gosh, please don't let that just go by you really quick. Calls them. This isn't like cell phones. He didn't Facebook all of his friends. This call was he went to his friends and his neighbors. There's a difference, right? People you know and people that live around you. And he's like, come on, let's get together. Let's have a party. And listen to what the party was about. Rejoice with me. For I found my sheep that was lost. You mean you left 99 of them to go find one? That's like 1%. Count it a loss, bro, and move on. No, no, no. This sheep's important to me. It's not important from an economic standpoint. The sheep had value to this shepherd so much that he was like, hey, you guys, you keep your poop in a group. I'm going to go find the one that's lost. Rejoice with me. Celebrate with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so, Jesus says, I tell you. He's telling this story to the people. He's like, why do you eat with sinners and tax collectors? Well, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I don't know if you know this, but everybody needs repentance. So Jesus isn't going, oh gosh, leave the church people because they've got it all together and go find lost people. He's like, everybody needs it, but one who really figures it out, one who doesn't know, I'm going to come, I'm going to rescue, and then there's a party in heaven. What does heaven rejoice over? Lost people coming to God. That's why heaven sent God to earth. That's why we have such a great God. All right. Let's move on to another parable. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, that word for coin is drachma, it was worth a day's wages. So, a lot of people talk about how this would have been a gift to her as a wedding gift, and she would hang on to it, and it would have a sentimental value. I think that's probably cool, and we could talk about that, but let's just talk about the money side of it for a second. She loses 10% of what she has as a nest egg or to live on. She loses. What if you lost 10% of all the money that you had? So, here she is. Having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. John Hunter is the first person to point this out to me. Joy before the angels of God. Who is before the angels of God? God. You know who actually rejoices over lost people being found? God. The Father loves this. So right here, I want to just point out what Jesus says. Just so, I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just so, when somebody loses something and finds it, they rejoice. Just so, when a person who has been lost, who's a sinner, who's dead in their sin, and God makes them alive and they come back to God, he loves that. Do you? How cool is that for you? We're going to read this in just a few weeks, but Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's Jesus. Ask you a really quick question. Have you ever been lost? Like, we could talk spiritually, and I do want to be able to ultimately land on that. But you've ever been lost, like didn't know where you're going, started to get that frantic, oh, I'm lost. Yeah. Some of you say, it happens all the time. Gosh, they literally called me Rufio at the place that I used to work at. I was the leader of the Lost Boys. I had what's called a Thomas Guide before they had GPS. And I was like, and I was in Seattle and South Seattle, and I'd always come back late, and the owner of the company sometimes would just be waiting like this. I don't know if you know what that feels like. I called that Tuesday, but I mean, anyways, it happened a lot. Being lost actually stops being fun after a while. My dad took me to work with him one time, and my dad was a cable guy. Don't go to the movie, go to this man trying to provide for his family. He worked for Cablevision. And he brought me into this area, I think it was Mercer Island. And it was a really, really long street. And we're coming out of the house. And my dad's going to his truck. And he says, Ace, because for reasons that don't make any sense to me at all, that was my nickname growing up. He said, Ace, I'm going to go turn around. I'll be right back. And I was looking at a dog, and I wasn't listening. I was totally distracted, much like every other day. And my dad got in the truck and started to drive past, and then he starts going down the street, and I'm like, Dad, Daddy, Daddy, don't go! I start crying, just bawling, losing my mind. At 11 years old, my dad left me behind. And then I see him turn around and come back. And I do this move. Okay, my dad's going to be mad at me. Okay. And he's like, what is wrong with you? I thought you were leaving. He said, I told you I would be right back. You've got to listen to me. I wouldn't leave you. He said, you don't know where you are, but I do. I've been lost. So Jesus goes to one. Some of you are like, look, sheep, that just doesn't hit me. I'm not an agriculturalist. I'm not a farmer. I don't understand that. Losing money. I mean, I've lost $100 and freaked out before, but that doesn't quite hit me. Maybe this one will. We had a lost sheep, a lost coin, and now we have a lost son. You guys understand this story as a prodigal son? Please hear it fresh and new today. Prodigal, reckless, extravagant. I want you to look for who's the most prodigal in this whole story. The most reckless. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. Church, tell me how many sons he had.
Two.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. This is called his inheritance, by the way. And you know how you get an inheritance, right? Somebody dies. He's like, Dad, you're better off to be dead. Give me what I have coming to me. I'm entitled. I'm your son. He'd only get a third of everything because he had an older brother who would get two-thirds of it. But he's like, oh, that's fine. Just give it to me because I want to get gone. Give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country where he could get away from his dad and do what he wanted to do. And there he squandered his property in reckless, prodigal living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. You know what it's like. You get what you want, you go for it, and then what you wanted doesn't really satisfy, and then everything else just seems to really get worse. And he began to be in need. Well, when you don't have anything and there's a famine, that's what happens. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, came to his senses, understood his dire circumstances, no longer longed for what he once had in that far country, but he came to his senses, he understood. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I'll arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Remember, this wasn't like a coin that got misplaced. This was more like a sheep that wandered off, chose to go. And he's like, I've got to go to my dad and let him know. I've got to confess. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Friends, we don't have time to unpack all of this, but would you just for a second try and put yourself in the shoes, the bare feet of this son who was lost and trying to come home? He was trying to come up with a speech like, I'm going to tell my dad, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm repenting. I am coming back in broad daylight, a hot mess, disgusting and gross, living with pigs, wishing I could eat what pigs ate. I'm going to come home and hopefully my dad doesn't have guards set up at the gate to lop my head off or to say, can't sit here, go. But instead, his dad's looking for him. And what did he do? He ran to him. He hugged him and he kissed him. That was not on the list of things the son thought was going to happen that day. So the son kind of gathers his composure, right? And he says to him, he begins the speech that he'd been practicing. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. This guest of honor is here. The robe was a big deal back in that day. Let me give you this. I'm happy you're here. And then put it on him and put a ring on his hand. He's given his son a signet ring saying, you've got authority in this house. He's answering the, I'm not worthy to be your son. He's like, it is not about your worthiness. It's about what I say about you. And then shoes on his feet. Look, no son of mine is a slave going to be looking like this and thinking he's a slave. He's got shoes on his feet. He's part of the family. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and he's alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I don't know if you're catching the theme, but there's a celebration about when lost stuff gets found. But the most important celebration is when lost people get found. And it's not like God is like, gosh, where did I put Craig? I know he's here somewhere. He knows where you're at. But the free will we talked about earlier means that you and I get to say, I don't want to be lost no more. And you don't have to be like, gosh, I hope I can find my way back. God's like, buster you. Turn around. Come back. Come back. Just come to me. Recognize that I am Father. And I love you. Please hear very clearly, friends. You and I don't get to say, I'm just going to come to God in my own way. You may have many roads that lead you back to God, but the only road to salvation is Jesus. He is very clear about that. He's scandalously inclusive. Everybody can come to him that wants to, but they got to come on his terms. You know what the terms are? All I bring to the table is I'm lost. I don't have some sweet grill to show you. I don't have some amazing ability. I'm not looking good in skinny jeans. I just need you. And he's like, I know. Let me hook you up with life forever, starting today. Friends, hopefully you're sitting here today going, yeah, I know this story. It's my story. Hallelujah. How about the other people who are lost? Are you excited about them to know this story? I don't know. Maybe. Let's hope they can just stumble upon it. No, you go be the commercial. You go tell. You go be the miraculous sign that points to the one that does the miracles. And they're not miracles for him, by the way. It's just what he does. He's so good. Now his older son, remember, how many sons did he have?
Two.
Yep. His older son was in the field doing his job. He's working. Diligent, firstborn, getting things done. And as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Like, what? There's a party going on? How come I didn't know about it? I thought they were working. And he said to him, your brother's come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. You know, not everybody's stoked when somebody comes back. He doesn't deserve that. But he was angry and he refused to go into the party. So his father came out and entreated him, begged him, was trying to reason with him. Look, this is profound. Now the dad has two sons that had been lost. One was found, and the one that was already part of the family decided to stay outside of it. And whereas before, the dad didn't go try and find the lost younger son, he goes out to the older one who should have known better, and is gracious with him too. But he answered his father, "Look, gosh, I got hit in my face with an open hand by my mom when I talked with her in those ways. Look, like I'm the dad." That's abuse, and I get it. I'm not defending my mom in that, but I'm here to tell you, I definitely deserve to be disciplined for talking to her like that. Not the way she did it, but I deserved it. He says, "Look, these many years I've served you, slaved you is what that, slaved for you is what that word means. And I never disobeyed your command. I was very good. I was dutiful. I was very religious. Yet you never gave me a young goat." It's kind of a different world then, so this is a weird little parallel for us. "You never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," not his brother, but that son of yours, "who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf when he came back." And the father says to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found." Quick questions. We're going to sing one song and I'll have you guys come on up, please. I want to celebrate with this, but I want to ask you, who do you most identify with in this story? Who is it? Is it the younger son? How many of you, like me, can really relate to the older son? Like, that's not fair. I've been here holding the bag. I've been religiously faithful. I've done what you've called me to do, and you don't give me what I asked for, and then this chump comes in after wasting the love you gave him and the provision you gave him. Does anybody else relate to that kind of attitude? How many of you can relate to the attitude of the father, who I believe was the most reckless of the whole crew? And not reckless in that he didn't know what he was doing. Oh, friend, don't get that twisted. He gave out love in a prodigious, lavish way, in ways neither of the sons deserved it. How many of you have been able to love somebody like that? And don't be afraid to raise your hand, because if you're doing that, it's God that gave you the ability to stand up and love somebody like that. How many of you have loved somebody like that? How many of you have understood that you've been so forgiven that you can forgive others? How many of you know that you were loved first, and now you can love God and love others as you love yourself? How many of you can relate to the dad? Me too. What a miracle. I can relate to all three. Depends on what kind of day I'm having. But friends, this is just something that I want to have land with you. Are you needing finding today? Because God loves you and knows right where you're at. Turn around, friend. He's right here. He loves you. Not right here, like, come to this building, you can get saved. Come to Jesus. He's right here for you. He's waiting. He will not make you come to him. That's not real love. But he'll take you. Turn around. He's calling you. How many of you need to be excited about people who are lost being found? Then turn around. Come into the party and celebrate with God that people who are lost can be found. And how many of you are like the dad and you just keep looking like, who's lost? Who's coming back? Have you ever noticed that somebody could be wanting to take a lane change and you know they want to, but they don't have their signal on? You know they're coming over, and sometimes you might speed up to say, not today, son. But other times you're like, let's give him some room. Come on over. I see you. Look for people. They may not lane change with a signal, but you know they're, gosh, I just find myself feeling like I need something more. Well, the goodness of God says, come on over. You didn't deserve it, and nobody else did. I gave it to you. You want a ring? Bam. You want some sandals? Bam. You want to be a part of the family? Here's a robe. I love you so much, I want you to come back in. This is God. This is why Crosswater, Cascade, any church that loves Jesus exists, because he loved us first. And we get to tell the good news. So would you do that? Would you stay? Would you sing with us? Would you rejoice? Would you come back at 6? Would you go out and pray with somebody else? I can't come back at 6, but I'll do something else. Good, go and do it. Start something in your house. Do you know that there's 5,000 plus people that call Sultan, just Sultan, home? And there's a bunch of homes coming in. That means people need to know Jesus. Are you going to love those people? Are you going to celebrate? Let's sing, and then we'll end on the song. So Jesus loves you. He takes you right where you're at, but he won't leave you there, friend. Celebrate that good news.